I want to welcome everyone. So I want to say a few words to open this session. I wanted to say a few comments about the topic, which is of great interest to me, because when I look at nature, everything in nature is feedback loops. Something happens and there is feedback loop within the system that modulates and allows for every aspect of the system to adapt. For example, if there is a population of a certain kind that grows beyond the capacity of the ecosystem to contain it, then there will be feedback in the form of not enough food, and there will be a decline in population. That, too, is a feedback loop. And one of the things that concern me is that in our human system, our social system, we have created conditions that make it difficult to provide feedback. And I'm not going to get into systemic feedback loops because that's not the topic of today. I'm going to focus for today and the rest of this series on human feedback, the kind of feedback that people give to each other that we as individuals require in order to know how to function. And yet, it is very difficult for us to know how to give feedback and how to receive feedback. And that's what we're going to focus on in this series. And today in particular, what is it that makes the giving of feedback difficult? And what can we do to make it easier and to make it effective? So that's the focus of today. And I would like to start by asking if there is anyone who has looked at the materials who has any questions that you would like me to address right away before doing an activity. Let me tell you what was in the handout, and some of it we will cover. My style is to learn through experience, ahead of time for whom it works, and in the class through experience. I don't like to lecture. So a key piece in the handout that was there is a table that contrasts evaluation-based feedback with NVC-based feedback. What are the differences between the two? And I'm hoping to have that emerge from our work today. And then there was a journal to prepare that invited people to look at opportunities when you could have offered feedback and did or didn't, and what made it work or not work. And the third part is, what was it like to receive feedback? That's what the handouts were about. And what I would like to do now is to invite people to be in small groups to have a preliminary discussion about this. And so I will tell you again what are the questions that I'm asking, and you will need to rely on memory more so than look at things as they happen. So I am going to ask you to be in small groups of three, and we'll do it in three separate segments, three separate short conversations, and do some reflection and sharing and exploration based on that. So the first part, the first question focuses in large part about what makes it difficult to offer feedback. What are the challenges? What are the obstacles? So I will ask you, once you are in groups, the first conversation is to think of a time when you had feedback for someone, or maybe you still have it, and haven't actually offered it. And to really reflect on what kept you from offering the feedback. What are the obstacles in your way to providing this feedback? Because my sense is that feedback is a gift. You remember what I said at the beginning, it's a gift of learning, of adapting, of working together, of interdependence. Without feedback, the only thing that any of us has by way of learning is our own inner experience, and most of the time that's not enough. So I am inviting you to look at what would keep you from giving the feedback to the other person. And then for those who have experience with NVC, and probably there will be at least one person in each group, I'm inviting you to also see if you can connect with feelings and needs underlying the obstacles. What do these obstacles signify in terms of what kept you from doing? Because through learning what all those needs are, you can learn to put strategies in place to make it easier to give feedback. And then I ask you to consider what you could do to provide feedback in this particular situation that would be helpful, and what would help you be more open to offering it in the future. So that is the conversation that I am inviting you to do. And I'd like to know if anyone has any questions about what I'm asking you to do. I'm going to suggest that you take 7 minutes in your group to discuss these questions. And I see a hand.
So you mentioned several questions you'd like us to answer. What makes it difficult to offer feedback? And then later, what would make it more possible to do that? And I think there was a third question.
Yes, it's around the question of how could you make your feedback helpful to this person that you didn't offer the feedback to. All that is as part of shifting. It's a big paradigm shift from looking at feedback as something nasty and unpleasant and critical that you give someone, to looking at feedback as a gift, as a contribution, as something that you offer someone to support their learning and growth and ability to function in a way that supports themselves and everyone else around them. So it's this shift that I'm interested in enacting in all of us, and this is the first part of the conversation of how to get there. Is that helpful?
Yeah, I think so.
Great, thank you. Let's then go into the small groups, and we'll come back and then we'll harvest from the small groups and see what we can learn from that. Hello, welcome back. I hope that most people got to have a significant conversation about the topic, and so I would like at this point to invite people to share in a large group what were some of the obstacles that you came up with in terms of what makes it hard to offer feedback. And let's see if we can look at them, unpack them, and gain some understanding about how we can move towards this new way of looking at feedback.
The one obstacle that was very prominent for me is history with the person that I'm wanting to give more feedback to. And the history would be that in the past, I was not either effective or successful from, let's say, my sibling's point of view. And she may have heard what I was wanting to give her, my love. She may have heard it as blame. And there may have been something in there, but whatever it was, it didn't work. And so I would say the history. So I'd be a little too cautious or too reserved in approaching again, because I don't want to be ineffective. I want to be effective.
Yeah, I'm appreciating this particular challenge that you're raising, which is something that happens, I imagine, because my primary focus for this class is about workplace situations, although human beings are human beings everywhere they are. And wherever it is, if you have a history with someone, then several things happen. One is the other person may be predisposed to be defensive, because they already were unhappy with the previous scenario. Second is you are cautious and tense, which is likely to make the feedback that comes from you less flowing. So if there is a history, on both ends of the history, there are dynamics that are likely to reinforce the history. What we can do in moments like this is to explicitly address and acknowledge the history and invite the other person into a shared holding of an attempt to do it differently. So it can look something like going to the other person and saying, you know, I know in the past I've tried to say some things to you and they've sounded to you like blame, and I feel really sad about that because my purpose was and continues to be to contribute to connection and mutual understanding between us. And from there, you can either invite the person to speak and tell you about their experience so that you can receive the person empathically and they can relax into trusting you again. Or you can say, you know, I'd like to give it a try again, and the moment you hear anything other than a gift, please stop me and let's connect in that moment and see what we can do to bring my intention to actual practice. So one or the other, or maybe something else, but primarily the idea of acknowledging the history can create a shared holding in the moment.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And let's see, there are other people. What challenges in terms of one of the primary explorations for this group was what makes it difficult to give feedback? And so I want to see what you learned in your group about this question. What challenges have you identified?
The other person appeared to have an emotional response. Often there was misunderstanding, and that it took a lot of mental and physical effort to communicate clearly, to attempt it. Not always being rewarded for the effort.
Yeah. So in other words, offering feedback that somebody doesn't receive well, there is some fear that that would happen and then it would require a lot of energy to reconnect.
Right.
And have you looked at what might have contributed to the other person having a challenge with your feedback?
Tremendous fear and shutdown. And then I don't know my part. I can...
Yeah. So part of what I'm hearing in and through what you're saying, and this may not be directly relevant to your situation, I want to generalize it to a larger question, is that because we are trained in society through the lens of what is right and what is wrong, what one should do, what one shouldn't do, what is normal, what is abnormal, what is appropriate, what is inappropriate, rather than through the lens of what meets needs and what doesn't, without having a judgment put on it, most of us don't know how to give feedback that is not a criticism. To give feedback that is a specific piece of information to the other person. So because of us primarily doing feedback in this way, the other person is likely to get triggered by the feedback. So there is fear on both ends. So clearly, in order to make feedback effective, we need to find a way to express it in ways that are least likely to be heard as criticism. Of course, there is no way for us to guarantee an outcome. That's never possible. Instead, what we can do is we can minimize the risk that something will be heard as criticism, and we'll come back to that today and for the rest of the course. What can we do to minimize the risk of something sounding like a criticism? Is this in any way speaking to your concern?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm open to hear how to do it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty careful about the statement of the feelings and needs and being very careful not to put it on the other person. You know, not asking them to change and satisfying my needs where I can get them met.
Yeah, one of the other challenges is to be able to distinguish between feedback, which is designed to contribute to the other person, and wanting to be heard when I'm upset. These are not the same thing, and very often people confuse it. If I am coming to the other person with emotional charge, I am asking more of them than if I'm coming with information that I'm holding in a relaxed, stress-free manner. And it's not like I'm saying don't ever express things when there's an emotional charge, not at all. It's just that that's different from feedback, and it's a different kind of communication that usually is more challenging for both people. I want us to become able to come to a place where we can work our way through our challenge, our emotional charge, to the point where we can offer what we have learned through this emotional charge and working through it that is useful information for the other person, instead of inviting them essentially to offer us empathy for being upset. That is a key distinction that is very important for the art of giving feedback.
So it's a focus on what we have learned from, what I have learned from the interaction.
It's what can I offer the other person that is information. So, for example, maybe if you can say just a tiny bit more about what the feedback was that you wanted to give this person, that might make it more tangible.
It's in an interpersonal relationship where the person pulled back, something got triggered, and their decision was to reduce the amount of availability and communication. And attempts to meet again were either ignored or refused for months.
So this is a person that is not responding to a request to be in dialogue.
Right.
This is outside the scope of what can be put in the form of feedback, because for something to be feedback, there needs to be some degree of connection and shared agreement between you that the person is available for feedback.
There was, before the pullout, there was a statement of commitment and a statement invitation.
Yeah. When it comes to a place where a person is not available to feedback, then you need to focus on recreating a connection primarily by hearing them if they are available for that.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I had a quick question that came up from that last discussion. I feel like the feedback, my motivation for the feedback I want to give is to make things work better for me. Maybe that's not feedback. Maybe that's more of a request. So I'm kind of got a little confused there. I think it would be a gift to this other person, but the motivating piece for me, right now I'm just saying, okay, I'm just going to not work with this person very much. I'm going to relegate her to a minor role on this committee as my strategy for kind of getting peace.
Do you have feedback for this person, and have you given it?
I have not. I have kind of decided, instead of giving feedback about her style and that it provokes anxiety in me when I'm preparing, so I'm a minister and she's on the worship committee. When I'm preparing for a worship service, I would prefer someone who's a little more calm and centered themselves. What I've done at this point is decide that it's too risky to give her feedback. And I have some concerns about her cognitive ability and that there might be maybe some beginning dementia or something. She just strikes me as somewhat bizarre sometimes. So the combination of sort of the riskiness to the relationship and potentially to my position and some concern about her ability to understand and receive it has me choosing not to give her the feedback. So foregoing the gift, foregoing the connection that might come from giving her the feedback.
Yeah. And then choosing to remove yourself from the relationship.
Right, so kind of limit the relationship. And it's also keeping me stuck in this judgmental place about what's wrong with her behavior and how it doesn't work for me.
So my sense is that the key thing is to shift out of the judgment before you can choose whether you give her the feedback or act on it. For as long as you're in judgment, you are reacting. And then there isn't a useful opportunity for learning for either of you.
I'm aware that I am not yet in a space to give her feedback. And I guess one of the other questions I'm realizing is, do I want to do that work in this context with this relationship? Kind of the energy that that might take. But I think it would be worthwhile for me, you know, individually.
Yeah. I'm also glad you're bringing up the question of, do we always have to give feedback? Do we always have to work with everyone? And the answer is no. What I want is for those decisions to be based on calm assessment of all the needs, what would work and what would not work with giving feedback or not giving feedback, rather than, this is too risky, I can't do it. or this person just won't be able to do it. That would be very different from finding your way to a compassionate place of saying, you know, given the state of life where this person is, the kindest thing that I can do is to go around this person. You see how different that is?
Right. You know, I can feel the reactivity that I'm making this choice from now, and that I might make the same choice but have it feel very different.
Exactly.
And I would interact with her in the meetings very differently, even as I was sort of not sending assignments her way. It would be a very different energy around it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Mickey. I have a situation where I coach a high school team, and today one of my athletes came saying that, well, I can't go to practice tomorrow because I have an orthodontist appointment. And I'm just a little uneasy about giving the feedback, hey, everyone else is making arrangements to figure out their schedules and stuff. And if it's a funeral or a big event that maybe happens one time, I can see it. But we're only practicing for a certain amount of time with our team. I don't want to get into like a power over type thing. And that's what holds me back. And so like I really didn't respond.
Yeah, so that's an excellent dilemma. When you are in a situation where you have more power than another person, your feedback can easily appear like an overpowering demand energy.
Yeah.
And how can you offer the feedback and stay in a dialogue between people trying to hold all the needs together? That's really the dilemma that you're bringing. Yeah?
Yeah, keeping with this guy about a strong enough connection to bring all the needs into the conversation. Sure.
Yeah. So you can express your concern. You know, here's my concern. We have a limited time for practice. And I had an understanding that we had an agreement to a very high degree of commitment to each and every practice session. And I'm wondering if you have considered all of that before making your choice to make this appointment? And have you thought of how this would affect everyone else on the team? As an example, then you're giving the feedback and you're still open to dialogue, which is another aspect of what makes feedback effective, is that there's room for the other person to be where they are, instead of there's already a foregone conclusion that what would happen is what you want. And in fact, if I go back to if you remember, I said that there is a table that contrasts traditional feedback from NVC-based feedback. And there are three aspects of that that are relevant to the question that you're raising. One is, what is the purpose of the feedback? And in traditional feedback, the purpose is to create change in behavior. You give the feedback, the other person's job is to change their behavior. And in an NVC context, the purpose is to create sufficient connection, understanding, and trust so that the two parties together can decide whether or not there's room for change and what change will take place. It's a different paradigm. You see the difference?
Yes.
It may be that this person will convince you of the great significance of the orthodontist appointment, given whatever circumstances they will raise. Another, you know, two related aspects is, where is the source of authority? And what is the outcome? And in traditional feedback, the source of authority is with the facilitator, the coach, the boss, whoever has the power. And in NVC feedback, the source of authority is shared between the two. And similarly, the outcome can be predetermined, or it emerges from dialogue and mutual understanding. So all of these are very clearly emerging from looking at your situation. Does this help?
Certainly, in order to collaborate more in looking at it together. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Mickey. I guess one of the big things, the reason that sort of stopped me from giving feedback, is I'm really worried that I won't be able to hear the feedback that comes back afterwards, that I won't be able to hear, because it might stimulate more of a charge for me in that moment. I might get really clear just before I get in there, but then when I get ready and I actually do it, it might stimulate more charge, and I get really scared about that.
Thank you, because one of the if my intention for providing feedback is really to contribute to this other person and to the functioning of the whole, then part of the preparation is to be available to hear from the other person and receive that empathically. So it sounds to me like you might want to do more preparation, so that if there is feedback that comes, you can receive it as a gift. There is, in the sessions that come later, one of the sessions is about receiving feedback. The last session is about the gift of receiving feedback, where it's almost like we train ourselves to hear the gift or ask for what we need in order to receive the gift from the other person, so that we can receive it in a different way instead of as criticism of us. So I would say that on the face of it, it looks like you need to do some more preparation.
Thank you.
Thank you. And last one.
Hey, Mickey. When I shared with my group, I found I was really embarrassed, but it's still a truth and a reality for me, and that's the fear of not being liked.
Yeah. Again, that is embedded within the kind of like air that we breathe assumption that receiving feedback is unpleasant, and therefore the other person is going to not like you. In other words, if you could imagine that feedback is something that everybody wants, then the risk of not being liked wouldn't be there. That's what I'm hoping we can move towards in the world, towards feedback being something that people look forward to because it's an opportunity for learning. And in fact, informally, we always ask for feedback. We are just so afraid that we ask for reassurance instead of feedback. All of us want to know if what we are doing is contributing or not. So we want the feedback, we don't want the criticism. That's the key part of the dilemma. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mickey.
And now I want to go back into the small groups for the next part of our conversation, which is I want you to talk for a few minutes about a time when you offered feedback and it was well received. You offer feedback and it was successful. What made it work? What were the key characteristics of the feedback that made it work for the other person to receive it? That's one question. And then you can also look at times when you offered feedback and it wasn't well received. And if you can look at what you did that contributed to the feedback being harder, and what could you have done to make the feedback easier to digest? What are the features of feedback that work? So I'd like to see if anyone has any questions.
Could you just give me an example of constructive feedback or appropriate feedback?
I would like you to draw on your experience of have you ever experienced feedback that you gave. And in fact, it may be that it might work better to include the other question that I was going to do in a separate group, but maybe we can combine the two, which is if you have memories of somebody giving you feedback that was useful for you, what did they do that worked? So it's either feedback that you gave to another person or feedback that another person gave to you that was useful. Does this help?
I'm getting confused between a feedback and a request.
Ah, feedback is when somebody basically tells you how what you did or didn't work for them.
But it doesn't include a request of how to change?
Part of what makes feedback useful is when people are able to give concrete suggestions for how to change things.
So it's part request.
In my experience, there are at least three things that make feedback useful, and having a clear suggestion is only one of them. we'll discover it. I really like you to really stretch and see what has worked for you in the past in either direction in terms of providing feedback.
I'm having difficulty distinguishing between when I want to give feedback and when I want to criticize. My hint would be that whenever I think I know it better than the other person, it'll probably be criticism. And
yes,
whenever I'm really open, then it could be feedback.
It's more likely.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can also see if there's any kind of a should energy there. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does it count as feedback if it's something that somebody's passing along to you that somebody else told them about you?
It could and it couldn't. It depends on how it's delivered. So I will let you decide for yourself if you want to focus on that example or pick another one. Does that work or do you want to explore more?
No, that's fine.
Okay. You also have a question.
So I just want you to review the questions that we're going to do in the group because
I want you to look at examples in either direction, either when you gave feedback to someone else or when someone else gave feedback to you that worked, where the experience felt positive and constructive and useful. And what made it so? So that we can learn from experience what works.
Thanks.
Okay, so at this point there are no more questions pending. So let's go into the group. Happy talking. Welcome back, everyone. We are going to do the same thing we did before, which is I'm asking you to share from the conversations you had in your small groups, what is it that you are learning about what makes feedback work?
I want to share what really stood out for me was, and I realized when somebody is giving me feedback, how much I really enjoy it. I like hold that as an empathy drill, like an emergency empathy drill in the moment that allows me to go, oh, I really need to be present with this person. How present can I be with this person? And how much information can I get right now in this moment? And can I really take in everything this person is really wanting to offer me? Not by taking it personally, but really trying to understand what's going on for the other person.
You are saying that that makes it work when you receive feedback?
Yeah.
So what you are talking about is the advanced skill that I'm intending to look at in the last session of this series, which is when somebody gives me feedback, even if their feedback is not particularly done in the most useful way, what can I do to still receive the gift? What I am interested in right now is what can they do to make it easier for you to receive it? I'm interested now in the skills for the giving of feedback. And we'll come back to skills for receiving feedback in a few weeks. Thanks.
What made it easy for me to give was knowing that the person that I was giving it to learned a lot and is open to feedback, although I will say when I gave the feedback, I was expecting a changed response, but the person felt that that was a fair expectation, that it was so much easier and is so much easier to give it to
yeah.
my one daughter.
So when the other person is open, that makes your life easier. What I am curious about is what's the actual skill? What can you do to make it easier for them? It's interesting that both you and Greg, from the opposite directions, are looking at the openness in the receiving side of the feedback. And I'm looking at what is the giving side of the feedback doing to make it easier. I'm interested in what you're saying, and I want to hear from other people that have something to say about that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
What makes giving feedback easier is using observations rather than evaluations.
Why does that make it easier? How does that help?
it seems to help because it's talking about something that feels more like facts and feels more like information than feels like judgment.
Yes, this is very powerful stuff. If we can give the feedback in a way that includes the specific description of what happened and what the person did, it makes it more digestible. And you named one reason for what makes it digestible, which is the emotional charge. There is no judgment when you provide it in this way, and so that makes it easier to digest. There's also another reason, which is that if it's not specific, I'm less likely to know what you're even talking about. So thank you for that. And I want to hear from others. What else have you learned?
It's easier to give feedback when I've worked through my own reactivity towards the person and I'm in a calm, centered place and my mind seems to be much more clear and able to remember the steps, different steps, observation, feeling, requests. But it's basically coming from a calm place.
Yeah, so which is what I was talking about earlier, shifting from being in a reactive space where I want the other person to hear me to being in a place where I have done my work, I have metabolized my experience to mm-hmm. make it useful information for the other person. Thank you.
So receiving feedback is to put on my giraffe ears and listen for the feelings and needs. Even if it may not be coming out particularly elegantly, but just to hear that.
Okay, so you're talking about what you can do to receive the feedback. And my interest in this moment is what can they do to make it easier for you? Because I'm right now focusing on the giving aspect rather than the receiving aspect of the skill.
If I'm giving it.
Yeah. Or if they are giving it, what can they do to make it easier for you to receive it? What did somebody succeed in doing that made it easier for you to hear?
Certainly, yeah. If the person, identifies what needs they're trying to fill, certainly. If it's from that point where even when depending on a person's language, if it's given in a spirit of working together.
Yes, so the intentionality of the feedback is very significant. Mm-hmm. And also you named one other thing, which the way I like to refer to it is, why does this matter? Rather than using the technical language of what's the need, when mm-hmm. I'm talking about feedback, especially if I want to bring it into an organizational workplace context where people may not have signed on to learn NVC, which is most places, I want to find a different language for talking about it. So rather than talking about observations and needs, I'm talking about the specifics of what happened and the why it matters. And why it matters generally refers to the need, and it's a little broader so that it can be anything that helps the other person see why this feedback is significant. It is amazing how often people give feedback without saying why it matters.
In my job, I do job performance reviews, and the basis for all the feedback is we're in business to succeed. Right. If we don't succeed financially, we won't be in business, and we will remain in business if our customers are really satisfied with the service we give and the products we sell.
Okay, so I would like to elaborate in this moment because I totally get the piece that you're talking about in terms of the fundamental why it matters is because we want to remain in business. I want to be able to link for the person how their behavior relates to our ability to stay in business. So, for example, what you said gives the connecting dot, which is customer satisfaction. Sometimes I want to be even more specific than that. So I want to be able to link the person's behavior to why it would increase or decrease customer satisfaction if they do this or that. Mm-hmm. I really want to make it plain so that they really can see how they can contribute to the success. by making whatever change that I'm asking them to make. So, for example, I'm going to use kind of like a very elementary example. If I tell someone, I've seen in the last 3 days and all of last month, you came 5 minutes after the start time of work, and that will affect our ability to succeed in business, that's too far of a leap. If I am able to say to the person, that means that for 5 minutes the phone was not staffed, and if a customer called, they didn't have someone answering the phone, and I am really concerned about our credibility with the customers, it makes it much clearer to the person what it is. I just wanted to lay it out for people to see how we intend that. Thank you.
I found it very useful if I make clear to the person I'm giving a feedback to that I'm talking about the impact of what actions the person made on me rather than talking about the person herself.
Yes. So if it's in a personal context, then you want to talk about the effect that the actions had on you. If it's in an organizational context, you want to include both.
The organization and myself.
Yes. If it's relevant what effect it had on you, you include that. And if it's relevant what effect it had on the organizational context.
And in both cases, I'm talking about the effect rather than about the person.
Yes. Right.
And if I refine it even more, I'd like to somehow deliver to the person that I'm actually referring to the actions themselves rather than to the person.
Yes.
As a human being.
Yes, I'm really appreciating this, and this is why we focus on really specific factual descriptions, because if I am saying things that are in generalization, it is easier for the person to hear it as being a character trait than being specific action. Thank you. Are you complete, or is there anything else?
I've got one more inquiry that just was stirred with your last exchange with the last person about the purpose behind the business being run. You were talking about the feedback within the business environment and how important it is the business to survive. The problem is that I see the survival of the business more as a strategy for our sustenance, you know, for the deeper needs. And
yeah.
I wonder how useful it is to or not useful is to point to the more universal human needs rather than the strategies themselves.
Yeah, I want to respond to this in brief because there are a bunch of other people. I was definitely doing a little bit of a shortcut there. There are certain things that are particularly meaningful in an organizational context. So I would like to be able to tie what somebody does to, let's say, the mission of the organization or the sense of direction that the organization has or some things that are more relevant in an organizational context that are not just about the business staying in business or not, but more about what is it that we are doing. That's on the one hand, and on the other hand, I want to make the full tie, like the example that I was talking earlier. I am less concerned about trying to be super precise about having it be universal human needs. My purpose is to create sufficient understanding so that we can together address the issue at hand and the person can learn what there is to learn and I can learn what there is to learn. If I focus on the precision of the need language, then it's almost like I'm shifting into I am in an NVC practice session. I want to adapt my NVC use to the context, the culture, and the situation in which I'm operating. And if other people around me are not familiar with NVC, I want to be able to interact with them in a way that is meaningful and resonant for them. Does this speak to what you just raised?
I found it extremely helpful, and I really hope that it was helpful for other people too. Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you.
For me, the thing that would have made feedback that I was giving work more effectively would have been to ask permission.
Yes. I am really appreciating that you're bringing it up because very often in an organizational setting, the person who is the manager or the coach or the facilitator or whatever their role is, make an implicit assumption that giving feedback is always fair game because it exists as part of the relationship. And
exactly.
I really like it that even if we are in a relationship that implicitly contains me giving you feedback, I want to still check with you to see if this moment is the right moment for you. So thank you for bringing that up. Anything else you want to add about that, or are you complete?
I don't know if this is related or disconnected, but I'll throw this in. Another thing that made the feedback ineffective as part of this lesson learned was that I gave them an unrequested diagnosis. So not only did I share an observation, but I also shared my interpretation.
Yes.
And the thing that they had the problem with was the interpretation. They were fine hearing the observation, but they would have liked, I think, to be in a different space and would have liked to have permission for the interpretation to be discussed.
Thank you. I want to say that the sharing of interpretations requires an extremely high degree of trust between people. Because if I share an interpretation with you and we don't have a lot of trust, it will be very hard for you to relax into believing that I see the fullness and the beauty of your humanity. Given that I give you an interpretation and a diagnosis, you will think that you're not seen unless we have so much trust between us that you know I see you, which is part of why it is so much easier for people to hear observations rather than interpretations. Thank you.
Like an earlier caller, I fear not being liked, and I can be very devastated by criticism, especially if I happen to agree with it. And what I shared was a time when I did something that was kind of a minor, at least infraction of my own values, and someone else called me on it. But she did so in such a way, she took great care to affirm what she saw as my essential fineness and integrity, and affirmed that because she knew me to be that kind of a person, that this particular behavior didn't seem to be living up to my own values. I agreed with her that I had done something wrong, and ordinarily that would have been a real opportunity for me to beat up on myself and be very upset.
Mm-hmm.
But her treatment of me was so warm and loving and affirming of the person that I was, that it was a very positive experience. It was actually an email exchange, and I saved the email because I wanted to be able to use it as a model, you know, when giving feedback. And I only wish that I could remember that all the time, because as we've also talked, sometimes one's own emotional reactivity really interferes with that ability to be calm and loving. And sometimes one is just to be heard and let the other person know you're upset. And then the feedback maybe is a second step after you've come out of the emotional reactivity.
Yes. I also want to say that you now have an opportunity to give this person feedback about how well this email worked for you.
I did. It was just really a tremendous learning for me.
Because one of the sad things is that people hear the word feedback and they think negative feedback. And that really for a system to work well, for a relationship to work well, whether it's at work or not at work, both what works and what doesn't work need to be communicated with the same degree of specificity. Otherwise, you get into what happens most devastatingly in graduate school. If anyone has been to graduate school and has ever written a paper, you will recognize this. You get 3 pages of comments from the professor. There is an initial comment that says some version of, this is a good paper. And then there is 3 pages of all the things that are not with the paper. And instead, If people can remember that specificity about what you like is equally and sometimes even more nourishing than specificity about what you don't like, and really gives people guidance about how to contribute, how to support, how to be members of society, how to be productive workers. If they are told, you did this and this worked and here is why, with the same care and detail, that really contributes. So that's one thing. The other thing that I wanted to highlight from what you said is how, in effect, the more chances there are that this feedback will be received by another person as criticism, the more important it is to find a way to communicate to the other person that you see their humanity. So I'm really appreciating you bringing that to the foreground. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before setting up the feedback, asking the person to whom you're giving the feedback what their impression is of what how something went, because it can help focus the kind of feedback you give them, and it also opens up new information that you wouldn't necessarily have had in the first place.
Yes, yes.
From so, evaluation to actually a shared discussion.
Yes. So creating the trust in the moment by showing the person that you're interested in their experience of what happened.
And it may point to things that you weren't, that
yes.
you were not actually even focused on that would be, it's useful information.
Yes.
It's been useful information for me as well.
Thank you. I appreciate your bringing that in.
What I was thinking when I heard the other two callers express that something that halts them in giving feedback is that they won't be liked.
Yeah.
And I've struggled with that for years and years, and I've even gotten some counseling for that, and it's really a lot of work. And one thing I found that helps me, I had quite an abrasive confrontation. Someone confronted me quite abrasively in front of other coworkers, and I kept trying to think, it doesn't matter if she likes me or not. She needs to feel that I'm okay in accepting where she's coming from.
Yes.
So that she'll maybe like herself more. I felt almost like I was concerned for the other person now
mm-hmm.
more than I'm concerned for myself. I hope that's not sounding codependent, but it helps me listen to the other person because
mm-hmm.
I feel if they really get listened to, that helps them
yes.
you know, feel more human.
Yes,
so
thank
that was
you.
My point.
Thank
yes.
you. I appreciate that. I wanted to say that what I think would work for me is if I don't use the word feedback, unless I have an understanding that we have mutual understanding. And I wanted just some feedback on, in an NVC shared language community, would feedback be celebration and mournings? No.
It's
because the celebration and mourning focuses on my experience. And feedback focuses on a gift that I want to give you.
Could it be stated, I'd like to talk about what worked and what didn't work?
So now I'm curious, what is it about the word feedback that you feel concerned about?
I'm guessing that most people have a relationship with the word feedback, and
mm-hmm.
unless I have a conversation with them about what it means to me, and that's what I'm trying to come up with.
Got it. So it's your interest in decharging the situation.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you can literally translate the word feedback and say, you know, I'd like to share with you some of what worked and didn't work for me in whatever it is that happened and possibly some suggestions for what can make it work better another time. Are you open to hearing it? And then you didn't say the word feedback.
Works for me. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. And the very last hand.
I have a question. And earlier you talked about framing it so that the other person knows that you see their humanity. Could you give an example of what that might look like or sound like?
Let's say, to go back to the example I was giving to earlier about let's say the person who comes to work 5 minutes late on most days. I can, even something as simple as to say, you know, I noticed that the last number of days you've come at 9:05 or 9:10 instead of 9. And I imagine that there is some very good reason why that is happening. And I still want to share with you the effect that that has on me and the rest of us working in this team. Do you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just giving that sentence, there is some place for that person to relax into not being shamed.
As you said that, for me, just in adding, you know, and I really am interested in knowing, you know, if you'd like to share what's going on.
Great. There are ample opportunities to do this in many different ways. It doesn't have to look one particular way. It's just finding a way to affirm the person's humanity
as you
are speaking to them. Because as soon as shame gets triggered, there's no useful learning. Nobody can learn in a context of feeling shame, humiliation, or self-judgment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so there is one post-last person.
Did I miss something, or did we not talk about some kind of like a connecting request that's in a language that the culture can hear? Because that seems to be really essential for me when I've been able to feel connected to the person that is giving me feedback or when I'm giving it, to just, you know, say, could you tell me what's going on hearing this? Something like that. Because otherwise I feel like I'm left standing there going, what do you want me to do with this? Is that a part of the model that you like to use?
It depends on the context. I only want to use it if I sense that the person is having trouble taking it in. If it looks like a simple interaction is happening, I just want to give a suggestion rather than a connection request.
I have so many sensitive people in my life that I think I've just learned that I do that all the time, and I'm hearing you say that it's not really necessary all the time. Thank you.
Huh? So I want to say that I feel incredibly grateful for the conversation that we just had, and my gratitude is that I feel enriched with even more clarity than I had before about providing feedback from all the nuggets that I heard from people, so I am really elated. I would like to hear from two people, if you can say one nugget, one little bit that you're taking with you that will be helpful to you.
I just love the metabolizing an experience to make it useful to the other person.
Thank you.
I got the learning that feedback can be seen as a gift, and that if I'm well connected within, I'm able to offer feedback and hear feedback.
Thank you.